I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the Republican Party in Washington State is cutting off its nose to spite its face. Plus, Bob Ferguson releases his first TV ad of the election cycle, and it is nothing short of revisionist. And the Bellevue landlord who's been dealing with a serial squatter just got his court date in 2025. He'll join us to discuss that and more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support this show of ours for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. If you are on one of our subscription platforms this morning, you would have seen a story that I posted, really just some thoughts that I posted about connections I've had to the Washington State Republican Party. So it's up right now on Locals, Patreon. I also put a link to it over on X and Facebook. The headline, "The Washington State GOP just lost a vocal ally." Me. Look, I encourage you to go read the article. I'm not going to sit here and read my own words to you, but I'll characterize essentially what that article is about and what led up to it a little bit before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's show. So for the last few weeks, there's obviously been something going on a little bit behind the scenes with the semi-bird debacle. Look, I'll give it to you straight. In 15 years covering politics in Washington State, Semi Byrd is the most flawed political candidate I've ever covered. It's not even close. No one even compares to the actual hard and fast black and white things that he has done, that he has lied about. Again, it's not even close. And I've covered a lot of crooked candidates and politicians in my career. You know, the job of the media, and I've always believed this, and I say it on the show all the time, is to hold powerful people or people who are seeking power accountable. And I was thinking about that phrase this morning and kind of last night, really, as I was writing my thoughts down. And it's really not the case. I think I need to start saying that a little differently. The job of the media is to give the public information they need to hold powerful people accountable if they choose to do so. All we can do is bring you information, make that information as factual and reliable as possible, be as trustworthy as we can, as consistent as we can, and then the public gets to do with that information what it sees fit. I don't care if people get information about Semi Byrd or any other political candidate like Manka Dhingra, the far-left candidate for attorney general that we pointed out this week has been lying about being a prosecutor for several years now. It's none of my care or concern whether you take that information and change your vote. That's entirely up to you. You are allowed to vote for anyone who you see fit, whether I like that particular candidate or not, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But it's been pretty remarkable to me over the past 3 weeks, the amount of attacks in particular against my friend Jason Rantz, and also the number of attacks and threats that I have endured for speaking simple truths about Semi Byrd. Things that are in documents in black and white, you know, his own words admitting to fraud against the Army. And even if, you know, the whole stolen valor thing isn't something that you're willing to accept, you know, there are a laundry list of things that he has done or lied about before then that, for me, any single one of them would be enough to disqualify him as a relevant, serious candidate. But, you know, I watched, and I'm just going to come to the defense of my friend Jason Rantz quick. Do Jason and I agree on everything? Probably not. He's certainly a little more conservative than I am. But there's one thing about Jason Rantz is he is solid. Jason Rantz cares a lot about being a sound journalist, perhaps more than actual journalists. I mean, Jason Rantz, like me, we're political commentators. But Jason has a very good core, he has very good core journalistic sensibilities. He doesn't get things wrong. He just simply doesn't, more so than I think mainstream journalists. And so to watch him diligently put out information on a major political candidate, which should be the job of any member of the media, and to watch him attacked as a rhino, as a socialist, as a commie by a pretty small faction of the right has been shocking to me. Someone who has done more for the Republican Party in Washington State than Semi Byrd has ever dreamed of doing, to have people turn their back on him so readily is really remarkable. And also to turn their back on a brand of watchdog journalism that the right has appreciated for a long time. I mean, the right, and that's part of the reason why even when I was in mainstream news, wasn't giving my opinion, was behind the scenes personally a little more to the left. I think there are a lot of Republicans who appreciated the work that I did and who now support my work independently because they appreciated the watchdog nature of it. But for semi-bird supporters, apparently that appreciation only goes so far. It only goes as far as, you know, oh, well, until it's watchdog journalism about someone who I like, then it's fake news, then it's whatever it is, you're a commie, you're a socialist. So all of that's fine. I mean, that's just sort of a matter of course. You know, I've been attacked by the left and right for a long time. I'm sure Jason has too, maybe not to this extreme. I will say that, you know, I haven't talked about this publicly and for good reason. You know, I've had quite a few threats, explicit and veiled threats from semi-bird supporters over the past few weeks, you know, to the point where it warranted law enforcement involvement, which happens, but a little less frequently than just vitriol. So that brings me to, again, my words that I published today on, you know, taking a step back from the Washington State Republican Party. Look, I'm an independent. I have, you know, never claimed to be a Republican. I'm not a Republican. And I've always said I don't like the two-party system. I don't like the Democratic Party, certainly in Washington State, and I have really come to make a realization about the Republican Party as well. You know, I've thought since leaving my job and being independent and being more free, I guess, to express my opinions, to align myself with certain people and candidates and causes, I've thought that aligning myself with Republicans was just the natural fit, the natural course of things. I mean, you have one party rule in this state. There is one party that is to blame, without a doubt, without a question, for what ails our state, and that is the Democratic Party. They're in control in Olympia. They have been for much of the last 25 years. They've had the governor's office for 40 years. And so really, I've looked at the Republican Party as a means to an end to one party rule, as balance being the only thing that can bring this state back from the brink. And I still very, very, very much believe that. But what I've come to realize this week and what I express in this post is I no longer see the Republican Party as fundamentally different than the Democratic Party. They both serve themselves before they serve the people of Washington State. Period. It's very clear. You know, my frustration at the Washington State Republican Party and some of the county Republican parties that I've, you know, had wonderful relationships with for the past couple years, they put out a statement over the weekend, essentially continuing lines of attack against Jason Rantz for his factual reporting on semi-bird, suggesting it's a media-fueled controversy, even knowing the amount of vitriol we're getting for reporting the truth. And Jim Walsh and the Washington State Republican Party proceeded to provide cover for semi-bird anyway and to blame it on this being media-fueled, which is not only ridiculous, it's a slap in the face. I told Jim Walsh personally, that's a slap in the face to me. It is a slap in the face to Jason Rantz to cover for a candidate who's so deeply flawed, who's not even polling at double digits, who has no chance of making it through the August primary, to cover for him, you're slapping us in the face and our hard work in the face and our dedication in the face. So Nicole will know I showed up. We were at a girls weekend event thing over the weekend, just getting away, supposed to be relaxing. And I was genuinely pissed off. And I thought, let me stew on this for a couple days and then decide kind of where I want to go with this. And that's what led to this post. Here's the bottom line. You know, I still believe that balance in this state is the only thing that can save it. And unfortunately, there's really only two viable parties, Democrats and Republicans. So certainly I'm going to continue my focus first and foremost on the party in power, as we will continue to do on the show today, in fact, because I believe that holding powerful people accountable means you actually have to focus that energy on who the powerful are. And those are Democrats. So I'm not going to change that whatsoever. But I have made the decision from now until November and for the foreseeable future to distance myself from GOP-backed events. You know, that I've done a lot of those since I left my job in mainstream news. I've spoken at countless GOP events. I have endorsed a lot of Republican candidates. I have supported Republican policies. I have held rallies in support of Republican-backed initiatives. I have shown up to testify in Olympia on behalf of Republican-backed bills. A lot of that is going to come to an end because for the reason that I articulated. The Republican Party look, given their actions and their words over this ordeal, has shown to me again that they're really no better than the Democratic Party. They serve themselves. They don't serve the people. And I'm interested in serving the people of Washington State. And so I can't closely align myself with a political party that isn't interested in doing the same thing, period. Now, that being said, I have made some commitments. We have made some commitments to political candidates and some causes that are aligned with Republicans, and that won't change. For instance, Dave Reichert. I believe Dave Reichert is about as independent as a candidate as you can get in this particular political climate. And I will do everything in my power over the next few months to try to help him get across the finish line and avoid what I believe would be the death knell for the state of Washington, and that is a Bob Ferguson governorship. So that will not change. The three initiatives that are on the ballot in November, I don't believe they have a single damn thing to do with political party. I believe that they benefit every working class person in the state of Washington, and I will do everything I can to help Washington voters understand what the initiatives are about and get those initiatives across the finish line. I feel the same way about I-2066. If it gets the necessary number of signatures by July 5th, we will do everything in our power to make sure that voters have the information they need to make an informed decision on that in November. Those things will not change. But when it comes to, you know, volunteering, showing up, going out, donating to campaigns or whatever it is, that is going to be the exception, not the rule. And the state Republican Party has done this to itself. It is losing what I believe, and it might sound big-headed of me. I have been an important ally for them. This show has a broad range of viewers and listeners. I am independent. I think this show appeals to independents. Those are the exact kind of voters, independents and moderates, who Republicans need to be bringing into their cause, not sacrificing them at the altar in favor of a deeply flawed candidate, the likes of which this state has never seen in my lifetime, at least. So that's where I'm at. And at the end of the day, I'm an independent. And I need to remind myself to act like an independent and to be an independent. And so we're going to, again, continue forth with our passion for holding the party in power accountable. We are going to refocus our efforts on this show and the content and quality of this show and what's happening in these four walls. And I am going to continue to push harder than ever before for citizens of this state to see that independence is really the only way out of this mess. Thinking independently and critically of political party, about the issues we face, about the candidates on the ballot, their party affiliation be damned. So that is what I wanted to say this morning. I will not go out of my way to help a political party that would throw me under the bus in one second for a failing political candidate. I'm not going to do it. And it also isn't in living up to my obligation to all of you. That's what I care about. I care about this state. I care about what's doing what's right for all of you, being as factual as possible in my opinions and in our reporting. And so I want to make sure that you have that commitment. But that is my message to the Washington State Republican Party today. You just cost yourself what I think is a valuable ally, me, in a critical election year. I hope it's worth it to you. All right, speaking of continuing on our mission to do what needs to be done and fill in the gaps where mainstream media is failing, Bob Ferguson has released his first political ad of the campaign cycle. Shock of the century, it's deeply dishonest. I was watching it and I counted at least seven, I would say, instances of gaslighting, one outright lie. First, before I break it down, let's play the ad in full.
I grew up in a big family. My mom was a public school special education teacher, and my dad worked at Boeing. They were always around for us. It's harder than ever for families to do the same. Skyrocketing costs and rising crime are making times really tough. I'm running for governor so families have an easier time making ends meet, and our loved ones, like Jack and Katie, have a safe and secure future. I'll work to lower costs, invest in technical education and apprenticeships, and I'll hire more police officers so we combat crime, improve public safety, and get those in crisis the care they need. It won't be easy, but I've never been satisfied with the status quo. I refuse contributions from big corporations, so my focus will be getting things done for Washington, not powerful interests. Together, we'll make our state safer and more affordable so we can all spend more time with our families and build a stronger future for everyone.
Bob Ferguson for governor.
Oh, my God. First, let me give him a compliment, okay? There was nothing in there about Orange Man bad, Dave Reichert, and abortion. So, okay, I'll give you that. Your first TV out of the campaign, I really expected it to have one or both of those things. Wow, I said this on Twitter the second it came out and I saw it. I said, is there any candidate, is there any political candidate in the entire country rewriting their track record as much as Bob Ferguson is right now? It's insane to see. It's also deeply heartbreaking to know that there are some Washington voters who are going to fall for it. So let's do this. Let's break it down a little bit. Let's start with the outright lie. And there is at least one of them, although some are very, very dangerously bordering on lies. He lied about his donations again. Here it is.
I refuse contributions from big corporations. So my focus will be getting things done for Washington, not powerful interests.
Yeah, he might be refusing donations from big corporations right now, but as we have pointed out on the show before, as Community Notes pointed out when he said this on X a couple weeks ago, Bob has long taken donations from major political corporations like AT&T, Microsoft, Walmart, Expedia, McDonald's, Weyerhaeuser, Boeing, BNSF, AOL, Google, Anheuser-Busch, Pfizer, Yahoo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If Bob wants to come out and say, hey, I'm a reformed big money donor taker, whatever it is, but he isn't doing that. He's acting as if, oh, I'm so holier than thou. I'll never take money from big corporations. I'm only beholden to you. Yeah, that's just a lie. So that is a flat out lie. Unfortunately, there's no one to regulate. There are no regulations about political candidates putting lies in campaign ads. Hell, they can put lies in their voter guide if they want to. No one fact checks it. And look, I don't know that I would. What entity would fact check it? Who would be responsible for that? The government? I wouldn't trust the government to accurately fact check anything Bob Ferguson said either. So here we are. So you have to rely on the media to fact check it for you. All right, let's get to some just deeply dishonest, revisionist aspects of this ad. Like Bob saying that he wants to lower costs for families because things are really tough right now.
I'm running for governor, so families have an easier time making ends meet. I'll work to lower costs.
Yeah, no, you won't. I have not in your 12 years as attorney general heard you, or in any Democratic capacity, heard you speak out about any of the many, 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 many new taxes passed under Democratic control. You're an independently elected official. You could have at any time spoken out about any of that as you saw fit. You decided not to. And now, as you're running for governor, as you're saying you want to lower costs for Washington families, you are on the record opposing three initiatives that would do what? That would lower costs for Washington families. He is opposed to Initiative 2117, which would stop the hidden gas tax, which is absolutely hurting Washington families at the gas pump. He is opposed to Initiative 2124, which would allow working class families to opt out of paying into the state's Long-Term Care Act if they don't want to use it, which is just common sense. And he's also opposed to Initiative 2109, which would repeal the capital gains tax. And you might say, well, that's not really working class families. Democrats are going, if this survives, Democrats are going to lower the threshold for capital gains. Mark my word, they will lower the threshold for capital gains. It'll start to apply to the sale of everyone's primary home. So if you're banking on the money and the equity you have in your home to one day help with your retirement, well, Bob Ferguson and Democrats, mark my word, they are going to include that in the tax on capital gains, not to mention that a tax on capital gains dissuades entrepreneurship. It dissuades people from starting businesses, which ultimately trickles down and hurts working class people. So he can't say, I'm for helping working class people and lowering costs, while also saying that he is going to vote against these three initiatives and does not support them. All right, here's the real doozy. And this is the one that angers me beyond just being laughable. Bob, all of a sudden, being the public safety candidate.
I'll hire more police officers so we combat crime, improve public safety, and get those in crisis the care they need.
Yeah, okay, first of all, wow, you are the attorney general who is 0 for 4 on prosecuting police officers, prosecuting them for political purposes, because back in 2020 and 2021, when everybody was like criminal justice reform and you were trying to raise your political star to get ready for a campaign for governor, you decided that it might be nice to have a few notches on your belt to put police officers in prison. That didn't work out too well for you, but I can guarantee you, you know, we have the lowest number of police officers per capita of any state in the nation right now, under a governor who is the same politically as Bob Ferguson. Bob Ferguson believes what other Democratic leaders who bought into the police defunding or didn't say anything about police defunding believe. He believes he can simply throw money at the problem. Oh, we'll raise pay for officers. We'll give them lateral bonuses, retention bonuses, signing bonuses. We'll make money available from the state to give to local agencies. None of it matters if they don't want to work for you. Newsflash, Bob Ferguson, they don't want to work for you. They don't want to work for a man who would try to throw police officers in prison for political expediency. All of that aside, Bob Ferguson now wants to act like he is a public safety candidate. Why is he doing that? Because his primary opponent, Dave Reichert, is a longtime sheriff. His public safety record is unquestioned. And also, people are really unhappy with the state of things right now on the public safety front. So all of a sudden, after 12 years of not giving a damn about public safety, he needs to act like he's going to sweep in and do all of these things to improve public safety? Give me a break. This is the guy who never spoke out about the criminal rioting that we saw, widespread criminal rioting for a full year in 2020. Never said anything about Chaz Chopp, even as the state's chief law enforcer. Never said anything about the widespread looting and retail theft until he decided to mount a campaign for governor. And all of a sudden, he's got a retail theft task force. He never said anything about the rollback in police pursuits in 2021 when his Democratic colleagues in Olympia did that. And then all of a sudden, he's running for office and he says, yeah, I never supported that. Wow, isn't that convenient? He's not the public safety candidate. He's never been a public safety person. He's saying that because he believes it's what you want to hear. And then finally, just Bob Ferguson talking about the status quo.
It won't be easy, but I've never been satisfied with the status quo.
You are the status quo. You are the status quo. You've been the attorney general for 12 years. When you look at your endorsements, his list of endorsements, it is a who's who of the status quo. It includes the two senators from Washington State who combined have been in office for more than 40 years. It includes Dow Constantine, who's running up on 16 years as the King County executive, who under his leadership has been disastrous for public safety, has raised taxes exponentially, has been disastrous on the homeless front and the substance abuse front. So you say you're going to fix all those things, yet your key endorsements are from people who contributed to all those things, not to mention you've been endorsed by the status quo governor, the man who has run the state into the ground for 12 years. He's also endorsed, by the way, by the governor before the sitting governor, Christine Gregoire. So he's endorsed by the status quo political class in Washington State for the last 20 years plus. So if you're not the status quo, three-term AG, if you're not the status quo, and you don't want to be the status quo, and you want to break the status quo, why are you being endorsed by the status quo? Makes no sense, does it? And that's just his first political ad of the cycle. Wow, we have a long way to go until November. All right, coming up next, remember Jaskaran Singh, the Bellevue landlord who is dealing with a serial squatter? Well, he just got, finally, he's going to get his day in court. I bet he's excited. We'll talk about it next. First, if you're in the market to sell your home, or maybe you want to sell the rental property that you have because you're terrified that you'll end up with a serial squatter too, reach out to our friend Wes Jones of sellwithwes.com. Wes has been doing this for a long time in this market. He's been through the ups and downs in the real estate market, and he still manages to help families get what they are looking for from their home. Bryce and Carla are fans of Undivided. They reached out to Wes when they went to sell their Bellevue home and retire to Florida.
Just very detail oriented and never put down our property because you could hear I-90 from our property and it wasn't the most feng shui, yummy piece of property and our furniture never showed our house well, our own personal furniture. But he was like, oh yeah, he could see in his mind, this will show after the paint and the staging, this will be a premium property. He could see that and he didn't let us feel like it was a subpar home the way it was.
Yeah, and they ended up selling their home in Bellevue in 7 days for over list price, even in January when the market was all crazy. So sellwithwest.com, sellwithwest.com, a better way to sell your home. All right, an update for you on the sad tale of Jaskaran Singh, the brand new U.S. citizen, became a U.S. citizen last year, has a rental property, a house in Bellevue, and a tenant who has not paid rent in 2 years. And despite receiving multiple bailouts from taxpayers to cover back due rent, continues to not pay rent. Well, I'm happy to report that Jaskaran Singh now has his day in court, but he could have to wait a very long time. This segment is brought to you in partnership with the Rental Housing Association. We've teamed up with them for this weekly segment to look at some of these challenging issues. Challenging issues just isn't do it justice. These horrifying issues facing housing providers in Washington state. If you are a landlord, make sure you sign up to become a member of RHA. It's like $260 a year, and they can have your back in situations like this, or preferably prevent you from getting into a situation like this in the first place. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. All right. So to catch you guys up on this, you know, we call him Jimmy. Jaskaran Singh lives in Bellevue. He's been protesting outside the house of a guy named Sang Kim. So Sang Kim is a serial squatter. This is what he does. And he's been squatting. I mean, he had a rental agreement, but I still call it a squatter. He hasn't paid rent in 2 years. He's been bailed out multiple times by the King County Housing Justice Program, which is taxpayer money. They just cut him a $50,000 check to try to make the story go away. $50,000 check with taxpayer funds to cover 2 years of back rent. That happened in April. Sang Kim didn't pay rent in May, didn't pay rent in June. So Jimmy, the landlord, has decided to carry on with these protests because now he learned that the next court date, the earliest court date that he could get to once again try to evict this deadbeat tenant squatter is March 6th, 2025. March 6th, 2025. So that means, what, 9 more months of this guy not paying rent. Nothing has shamed him into paying rent so far because he's hoping, once again, I get to stay in this house for free. And then the Housing Justice Project's just going to bail me out, as it has done multiple times before. So why would he pay rent? He's a free attorney from the state of Washington, courtesy of the taxpayers. So now this date is basically telling Sang Kim, sweet, I get to continue my family. We get this crash pad. We get to keep it until at least March of 2025. Ridiculous. And as you know, I'm sure you've got to know him by now, Jaskaran Singh is not going to sit back and watch that happen without putting up a fight. Welcome back to Undivided.
Thank you, Brandy.
I say it like that because, like, it's not that I don't like having you on the show, but I just am sad that we have to keep having this conversation.
Yeah, it's a simple thing between right and wrong. People ask me all the time that, why are you doing it? I said, it's so hard. I said, it's not that hard. I'm simply asking I'm standing for the truth. I'm asking for the justice. I'm raising my voice. People are reaching from whole state. They're suffering. And I feel accomplished at the end of the day that I'm doing something meaningful in the life that everyone should come out and vote right this year. Otherwise, they will make protests in front of the property illegal next year.
Yeah.
They will pass a bill that we can't even protest. So they are trying to change the constitution of this country. We need to stand up and raise our voice. I'm a supporter of the small businesses. What I'm doing is really hard for me. I would be rather hiking or biking outside, but I am here to save that you guys don't become the victim of the wrong policies.
Yeah, and we appreciate you for doing it. So the last time we spoke to you, Sang Kim had gotten, you know, a $50,000 bailout from the Housing Justice Project, yet he had still not paid his rent for the month of May. So it is now almost the end of June. Has he paid you for May or June, Jaskaran?
No. No, he will not pay. As long as state is protecting him, as system is protecting, he will not pay. We know it from the day October 2022 because he knows the system and he's exploiting it. And it took me 2 years to come out in the public and stand up against this injustice. So
2 years to stand up, but it might be going on for even longer. So you got a hearing date for, again, another effort to get him out of this house for non-payment of rent. When did they schedule that hearing for, Jaskaran?
March 6, 2025. By law, it should be 30 days, but I got it 9 months.
Wow.
And whole leadership knows it. Everyone is watching this. And I'm simply requesting them, just take a responsibility. Tell, it's not a that big of issue which we are making it. So I, at inauguration, I met the Doc Ornstein. I met him. I told him in person that I am the one who doing the protest. He introduced me to his assistant. He gave me a card. I sent an email on Sunday. I'm waiting for the response.
So you met Dow Constantine at his State of the County address and spoke to him in person?
Yeah, I met him at the inauguration of the bridge in Bellevue.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And he seemed open to having a conversation or having you connect with his team.
Yes, he gave me a card. I sent him an email, but I'm waiting for the response. I met Claudia Balducci, council member, on Friday at an event in Crossroads. And she said, this is wrong. Everyone is saying it's wrong. This is common man's issue. This is the common sense. We need better laws. That's the reason we came to this country. I became a citizen by choice. I don't take it for granted. I am blessed. I don't have much to lose. This country has given me so much love and so much, I have so much stories to tell.
Yeah.
But this is the story I was forced to tell.
So you guys have kept up your protests. In fact, you also marched down to Sang Kim's wife's place of employment, which some people have taken issue with, but why go to those lengths?
So it's interesting. When I was doing the protest in front of the house, some people were saying you should do the place of the occupation. Again, I have to take this step, which I don't want to. I am a small business. I support small businesses. I was trying to start my small businesses in real estate. I was trying to do work hard and get my own passive income and make it primary slowly. That's what I was going towards. But my plan was ruined. And it was hard for me to go there. I still, if this like a, but they were aggressive and they were not listening and they are saying lies, she doesn't work. Car was parked there. And Sang Kim, it's not from our property's 5 minutes drive. He came there in 5 minutes and taking a pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I know who is protecting him. How dare and how many guts he have that he can live like that and he will not take care of property and whole neighborhood is against him. And he's just, it's shocking for me.
Oh, it is shocking. And I think it shows the lengths that you've had to go to over this whole ordeal and why the government should be, you know, eager to fix this problem is, you know, nobody wants you to have to be protesting out places. Like you said, you don't even want to do it anyway, but who else, what are you going to do? It's like this hands tied situation. So is there any, just to kind of wrap it up, have you been given a reason for why this is now being pushed despite all the previous issues in this case, why it's being pushed to March of 2025?
No, that's a court date you can get. It's not for me. Anyone can go in a public King County and try to find a court date. It will be March. In 10 days, it will be April. So it's all the policies are there. Then King County eviction cases are only heard for 1 hour. Whereas somebody was telling it's more in Snohomish County. So I have no idea why they are doing it. What's the purpose? Why they're not listening to a taxpayer, and it's a simple solution.
Yeah, and just really, let's end on solutions because this whole ordeal has prompted you to run for Washington State Senate. So you're in the middle of a campaign for that. If you make it to Olympia, what are you going to push for to try to fix things like this?
So There should be a balance. We need a better laws which helps genuine cases. There should be accountability. Same people shouldn't be served again and again. And people who are given a free services, they should be vetted. Is there a domestic violence case? Yeah. He lost a job. Anyone can go through the life changing events. The funds should be given to the genuine people. The taxpayer money shouldn't be wasted. That thing hurts me most. I have said it before also. It's not my personal. State versus with my taxpayer money, they are fighting with me. And how is it personal? If Sang Kim has his own lawyer, then it's personal. If he's paying from his pocket, then it's personal. But every call to my lawyer is charged. I think they're intentionally trying to break me up, making my voice not heard. And I would like to give a message that a lot of people are watching this coverage and following me, and they need answer. They're asking me, is he gone?
And he's not. And you make a good point there that, you know, they want to say, well, this is a property dispute, essentially, and so the government can't get involved in it. But you make a good point. The government is involved. The government and the taxpayers are paying for his attorney. The government and the taxpayers are bailing him out when he doesn't pay rent. The government has pushed these policies that protect him. So they can't call it a private property dispute when he basically has the force of the government and the help of the government behind him. And you have you and your supporters to help you. So, Jaskaran, thank you for the update on this.
I would like to add quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
We went to a protest and they said it's a private property and you're trespassing. I said I'm having the same issue. My private property, this guy is trespassing for 2 years. This is a common sense. And they said you can't come. You have to stay on the side path. Police came. That's what I want. That's my property. The trespasser should be out of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you're talking about when you went to the business, they said you're trespassing private property. And you're like, that's what happened. So that's crazy. It's crazy. I hate to laugh, but it's gotten so ridiculous. So, all right. Keep us updated, okay?
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Wild stuff. Already 2 years of a guy not paying rent, being bailed out by taxpayers, multiple eviction efforts, and now his next court date is March of 2025. The fact that, and this just shows the failure of the Democratic Party in Washington State. They push these policies that give free attorneys to people who are facing eviction. So they've got no worries on that front in terms of, you know, they don't care, right? I've got a free attorney. Like, I can just do what I want. The attorney is going to try to help me get through it and delay my case. And then you have all these laws that prioritize the tenant, even in extreme cases like this. Like Jimmy said, we all understand there are people who genuinely fall on hard times. You know, they lose a job out of the blue. They're a victim of domestic violence. Those are the people who taxpayer money should be used to help support. Not someone like Sang Kim, who is clearly, very clearly milking the system, and that Jimmy has gotten no response from Democratic leaders who pushed these policies. Like nothing short of some surface level sympathy. It's really insane stuff. All right, that segment was brought to you in partnership with the Rental Housing Association of Washington. If you are a landlord in Washington State, particularly a small landlord, join the RHA today. We've heard from multiple landlords who say that RHA was able to help them get out of crazy scenarios. I mean, that was the case for Jason in Seattle, whose story we featured quite a bit. So rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right, we can always count on our friend Jonathan Cho with Discovery Institute for a little bit of entertainment, but also a wake-up call about the fact that it's not just downtown Seattle that is dealing with a true crime crisis. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unfreaking Believable. Boop. All right. So we talk a lot about what's happening in downtown Seattle, Third Avenue, for instance. But the truth is, when you have a crime crisis that has grown that much, when you have a homelessness crisis, a drug crisis that has grown that much, it spreads out everywhere. I mean, I live in East King County and we see more and more drug addicts and a few people who are homeless. And it's really noticeable because it's like, wow, we're not used to that. One of the areas of Seattle that has become an increasing problem, it's always had a little bit of low level crime, but it's become an increasing problem, is Aurora Avenue. Avenue in North Seattle. There was just a shooting there, too. This is from Como News. 41 shells found as police search for at least three suspects in latest Aurora Avenue shooting. There's been some really horrible acts of random violent crime up there, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, there are the old standby issues that have been happening on Aurora Avenue for a really long time, one of them being prostitution, which, man, I mean, last time I drove on Aurora, I think I've told this story on the show before. I see this chick, and she's got no top on, totally nude, middle of the day, fishnets. So, like, the wide fishnets. You know how some fishnets are like, oh, no, these are the ones with, like, big diamonds out in it. And high heels, no panties. So all she is wearing are fishnets pulled up high and high heels. That's so that. It's, like, it's all out, ugh. Right? And it's the middle of the day, and I'm like, this... I get it out. That, I there was this whole show, before I get to Jonathan Cho's video, which is total peak Jonathan Cho. I get it that I agreed with the move away from prosecuting prostitutes and more toward prosecuting Johns. I think a lot of prostitutes, and it's sad, are victims of trafficking, are being pimped out, are addicted to drugs, aren't being allowed to leave or being forced to do this. And I think that's really, really sad. So I understand the city of Seattle wanted to try to sort of focus on the demand. And then everything else hopefully go with it. But clearly, whatever they're doing isn't working. And part of that is we just don't have enough police officers. You really think SPD has enough time to be doing stings to arrest Johns who are picking up prostitutes on Aurora Avenue? No, they're like down like 700 officers. So this issue becomes a huge quality of life problem. And yes, contributes to criminal behavior. So Jonathan Cho goes up there and he stops by this gas station. And in there, he finds a... lady of the night. Here's the video.
What you reporting for?
I just seen a bikini and inside a gas station. That's why I'm just wondering.
Here, this is the blade be selling ass over here, so you can put your camera there.
Okay.
I ain't got no shame in my game. So fuck. I'll break your phone.
I dare you to run in those heels. I'd love to see you. Oh, shoot.
I ain't got no shame in my game.
She goes, this is the blade. We're selling ass over here. I have no shame in my game. And he says, she tells him to put the camera down. And Jonathan Cho, I hate to laugh, but then he goes, I dare you to run at me in those heels because she's got like 4-inch heels on and she takes off after him. Can we play it one more time? Just for? I also love, if you're watching the show today, I think Matt Gilbert pointed this out. She's getting some food, you know, in just mm-hmm. this thong and top. And there's the sign above. She's at the hot food area, you know.
Yep.
It says, looking hot. She's looking standing hot. Underneath it. Okay, just play it again for a little comic relief today.
What you reporting for?
I just seen a bikini and inside a gas station. That's why I'm just wondering.
Here, this is the blade be selling ass over here, so you can put your camera there.
Okay.
I ain't got no shame in my game. I
dare you to run in those heels. I'd love to see you. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I'm, for the record, I'm laughing at Jonathan Cho. I'm laughing at Jonathan Cho. I don't know this young woman. For all I know, she could be being trafficked or some. She's someone's daughter. So I'm not laughing at her. I'm laughing at Jonathan Cho. This is just an entirely ridiculous scenario in the middle of the day. And there's a cutout of Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the background of the shot, which that's my celebrity crush.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike already knows that, so I can
say
that.
Pass.
So anyway, so that's one thing. Like, seeing a prostitute on Aurora Avenue isn't particularly the most fascinating thing. I mean, that's been an issue for a long time. But then Jonathan Cho, as he flees the woman running at him in high heels, he's outside and you see the other quality of life issues that come along with it.
And then you see this fella. Hey, bro. Hey, man, you okay?
Yeah.
You okay, man? What do you want, blues? You on blues? Man, you can't stay on the street, man. It's an alley. Someone's gonna, like, hit you. Can we at least get you off the side of the street? Hey, bro, we gotta get you on the side of the street there, man. All right? Come on. What, you gonna roll?
No.
Nah, man, I gotta pick you up, man.
Yeah, that's the human suffering of progressive policies. That's the human suffering of progressive policies. And Cho walked right out. I mean, so he goes out and just turns the camera around. There's another woman who wasn't in that part of the video, but she's bent over, clearly has the Fetty Leans. Then he turns like one more turn, and then he sees this guy laying in the alleyway who's completely incoherent. And that's in North Seattle, you know, an area we don't even talk about all that much. We don't even get to all that much. You've got shootings up there. You obviously have prostitution issues. You have drug issues. All of that brings gangs into the equation. So that probably leads back to the shootings and all of that. So it's just a horrifying situation, not to mention, you know, you know what comes along with prostitution and some of the bigger issues with that, like human trafficking and, you know, young women being victimized and all of that stuff. So then I just look at that and it's like there's a movie called, like, what is it, Through the Rear Window or something like that, where it's like the whole movie just takes place looking out this back window at this like crime happening and stuff. And that's what this reminded me of, is just this point in time where it's just one continuous shot where he's in there. Prostitute, woman clearly on fentanyl or something, turns it around, one continuous shot of so much suffering and such a good, unfortunate reflection of Seattle's policies and what it's done to a once wonderful, beautiful city. All right, coming up next, speaking of once wonderful, beautiful cities, we're going to go down to Oakland, where the mayor believes she's in an action thriller. It'll make sense in a moment. First, I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. You need insurance, so why not have someone else for free make sure that you have the right insurance you need, revisit your policies every year to make sure they're up to date, that you're not paying more than you need to. So I took the First Mark Challenge. Mike and I are now personally insured through First Mark. Nicole is. The Undivided Podcast professionally is insured through First Mark because it's just an exceptional service. Our friend Ben Bailey and his wife Leslie did the First Mark Challenge. They ended up saving $1,500 a year.
You know, it's good to, just like you would go in for an annual physical with your primary care physician. You know, you may not have anything wrong, but it's good just to kind of have that, you know, annual check-in. And I think that's what First Mark, you know, the service and the value that they really provide is it helps. It helps you have an understanding of your coverage.
Yeah, and that's good too. And you might come away from it and they might tell you, we don't think we can save you any money through our carriers, but then you have a good understanding of the insurance you have and whether it's what you need. So take the First Mark Challenge today, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. It's totally free. You never pay First Mark for their services, which makes it even more of a no-brainer. Firstmarkinsurance.com, the very best part is they work for you. All right, dipping outside of Washington State, what the hell is going on in Oakland? Just in California in general. That can just be a standing statement for California. So the first thing I saw was a clip of the mayor who looked like a bad actress out of an action movie or like a Batman thriller or something. It was really weird. I'll get to that in a moment. And so then we went and looked at the background. So apparently this week, several FBI raids were conducted at homes in California with ties to Oakland mayors, including her own home. This is from the Associated Press. Federal authorities raided a home belonging to Oakland Mayor Sheng Tao early Thursday as part of a California investigation that included a search of at least two other houses, officials said. Agents also carried out searches about 3 miles to the south at two homes owned by members of the politically influential Duong family that owns the recycling company Cal Waste Solutions, the Chronicle said. The firm has been investigated over campaign contributions to Tao and other elected city officials. So that's interesting. So it looks like they're looking into, and nobody really knows for sure because the FBI is very tight-lipped. All we know, the search warrants were served, including at the mayor's house, a couple of them in combination at the house of this family that owns this major waste company that's already been investigated for campaign contributions. So there's something afoot, right? So the Oakland mayor is kind of quiet about it. And then she comes out and has this crazy, super dramatic press conference. Where she basically says it's her assertion that this investigation isn't about her. And at this point, I guess we don't know that not to be true, although it seems like a lot of people, including family members and people in her orbit, are part of this as well. So she's like, I did nothing wrong, and then continued with this.
Well, guess what? I'm not going down like that. We're not going down like that. The people who voted for me deserve to have their voices heard and communities prioritized. I'm seeking the truth right now, just as much as you all are. But I will not be bullied, and I will not be disparaged, and I will not be threatened out of this office.
We ain't going down like that. What? Reminds me, I watched this cheesy show called like NCIS New Orleans. I know, I watch the worst shows. And there's like this corrupt mayor on it. And that's like, he's like, that reminds me of the bad acting in it. We ain't going down like that. I was like, oh my God. And then, and this is the thing that really gets me, just ridiculous. What do Democrats blame everything on besides COVID? I know Nicole was about to shout COVID. COVID. What else do Democrats blame everything on, even if it's not related at all? The right wing, and she was no different.
There are a lot of radical right wing forces who know they will never win an election in Oakland fair and square. They know their extreme views are at odds with our Oakland values, but they have built the rules to protect and preserve their power and maintain dominance over the rest of us.
That doesn't even make any sense. So you're in one breath saying the right wing can never win an election here, but then you're saying that they built all the rules to preserve and maintain their power. So do they have power or do they not have power? And we don't even know what's going on with you. So why are you saying if you're not involved with it, it's the right wing trying to attack you and get you out of office? It's very strange. But we'll keep an eye on that one. I just really don't know what to think of it. I've never seen a worse acting job. And then she's sort of like crying and all this stuff. And I just, and if you didn't do anything, then just say that. Be like, this is related to someone else, or maybe related to someone in my family or whatever it is. Make that very clear and put it out in a statement. You don't have to have like a tearful press conference where you're saying, we're not going down like that. Who's we? Who's we?
Well, I think that her chief of communications resigned this morning. So apparently somebody's scared.
If your mouthpiece isn't behind you, you know that that's a problem. Mm-hmm. If even your mouthpiece can't spin it as a politician, then you know that you're in trouble. Okay, I'm going to give a big preface to this next story. I don't even know if this is realistic. I don't even know if this is parody. I don't think it is, because I was tracing back where it came from. I saw this on social media and I just thought it'd be a really good conversation starter, because I was thinking the other day, I don't remember who I was doing an interview with, but you know, Democrats in Washington state, they're working toward their super majorities. And I can only imagine the crap that they will try to do if they have super majorities. I mean, mass pardons of people in prison. What? How bad could it be? We know they'll push through the rent control thing. They'll take away your Second Amendment rights, all this other stuff. But I saw this and I was like, they'll probably try to do something like this. So apparently there is an effort to work on technology that, instead of sending criminals to prison, would hook them up to a machine and reprogram their brain so they don't recommit crimes. Here's the video.
Welcome to Cognify, a facility designed to treat criminals like patients. Instead of spending years in an actual prison cell, prisoners could finish their sentence here in just a few minutes. Cognify could someday create and implant artificial memories directly into the prisoner's brain. These complex, vivid, and lifelike memories are created in real time using AI-generated content. Depending on the seriousness of the subject's crime and their sentence, the memories could be tailored to the rehabilitation needs of each subject. The artificial memories implanted by Cognify would be seamlessly incorporated into the existing neural networks of the brain, preventing cognitive dissonance and ensuring the subject experiences the memories as if they were real.
What? So they're calling it the prison of the future. So you're saying like, oh, you could go kill someone and the only punishment is you have to spend like a day hooked up to this gizmo?
Well, then you'd be fixed.
Would you be? But it's like, I half like it and I half don't. But it's like, well, if it's so easy then to remove that kind of desire to commit crimes in the brain, why don't you just do it to, that's what they do to every human being, and then no human being would commit crime because they've already been hooked up to a machine at birth that implants all these things in their brain that tells them not to commit crimes. And that, my friends, is just a slippery slope. I prefer someone to have to actually sit in a small jail cell who killed someone, poo and pee in front of their cellmate, you know, maybe get shanked in the yard, whatever it is. only the killers, right? I'm sorry. As much as those gizmos, I'm sure, implant realistic memories, nothing sticks with you quite like being shanked with a sharpened screw.
Wow.
You know. You know what I mean? And then you have the scar, you know? And then you're looking at that every day like, don't want to do that again.
Don't commit crime.
Don't want to do that again. So anyway, I don't know. Coming soon to a prison near you. All right, our friend Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital is going to have another one of his free Know Your Risk webinars coming up this Thursday at 3:30 p.m. This one is specifically about inflation. They did one about a month ago on inflation, how it's a silent portfolio killer. It was so popular, they decided to do it again. So you can sign up for that right now by going to knowyourriskradio.com. Knowyourriskradio.com. It's totally free, no obligation, just a good learning experience. I mean, you work hard for your retirement. You've already planned out what you want your retirement to look like. Make sure inflation doesn't ruin that for you. You know, your money with the inflationary rates we're at, it's not going to go as far. And so Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital can help make sure that you're protecting your retirement against that. So knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Trek 24244. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. Okay, just because I'm a glutton for punishment, I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X today, what do you think about my decision to create some kind of formal distance between myself and the Washington State Republican Party? It's been interesting to read some of the comments on this because, and I don't know the extent to which people who took the poll actually read the article that I wrote. There were a few people assuming that means I'm now going to align myself with the Democratic Party. Yeah, hell to the no. Right. Hell to the no. My stance against the Democratic Party is unchanged, and it's very firm, so no worries there. It's just this matter of, you know, I can look at policies and ideas and judge them on the merits without, you know, going to speak at GOP events. You know, certainly there have been some GOP-aligned groups who I have no intention of distancing myself from, but, you know, as I explained at the beginning of the show, you've got a party that when it boils down to it, is serving its party needs first. That's what I've really learned in the last couple of weeks. Just like the Democratic Party serves its party needs first, they are corporations, and I am very against the two-party system. I have aligned myself with the Republican Party for a couple reasons. One, I clearly have more in common with Republican ideas and values on a lot of things. I mean, I'm liberal on some other things like social issues, but frankly, I think even some Republicans are becoming liberal on social issues. So I'm more aligned with them, certainly in Washington State, because the Democratic Party has gone so far off the deep end. But also I felt like, in a way, I hate to put it this way, we kind of used them. You know, we're using the Republican Party as a means to an end to one party rule. So if a couple Republicans can win and then Democrats are robbed of, you know, their majorities in at least the House or the Senate, or we've got a governor of a Republican Party who can come in and veto some things, call me selfish, but that's what I want. So that's why we've thrown so much, you know, 15 years of my credibility and my platform and our earned audience behind some of these Republican issues. But I still want to be able to maintain my independence. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to proactively support a party that will throw me under the bus and spit in my face to support a candidate who's polling in single digits and who is the most deeply flawed candidate that Washington State has ever seen. Call me crazy, but I'm not going to do that anymore. So I asked you guys about the article I published this morning, and I asked you if you agree with my decision. Most of you are saying yes, but there was a little bit of dissent. David said the Republicans don't deserve her, and the Dems, well, I'd be disappointed if she associated herself with their extremism. Yeah, hell to the no. That will absolutely never happen. You don't have to worry about that. Not at all. Let's see. Keith and Vicky Miller says, Brandy, I voted no only because both parties need to hear what you have to say. And they can hear what I have to say on the Undivided podcast 5 days a week.
Did you say podcast?
Wow. Podcast sounds delicious.
It really does.
Can we have, like, maybe Fridays just be a podcast?
Podcast.
Where we just go buy ourselves a pie, mm-hmm, and take a picture of it and, yeah, post way. It? E says 100% yes. Political parties serve ego, not the greater good, not the people. It's the independence that started our country. You know, we need a move. We need to go backward on a lot of things. We need to go backward in the media. The media needs to just remember, you know, why why the free press was created in the first place and why the Fourth Estate exists in the first place and go back to some of those old principles. And, you know, our country, George Washington warned against political parties. He knew that political parties would be the downfall of the country and that people in political parties would start to serve those parties rather than the best interest of the whole. He saw that. He was very opposed to the idea of political parties. And you're starting to see why. I mean, I hope people are starting to see why. So I think we need another movement in this country toward independence, the independence from political party. And that will help us out a great deal. Stacy said, I didn't vote either way. It's not my responsibility to agree or not, but I do support your decision as I trust you know what's best for you. Well, I appreciate that. Let me see. Carrie says, I do agree with you, but would suggest you pick and choose events. In looking at Semi Bird's website, I see that not all county GOP chapters have endorsed him. Yeah, and it'll be, like I said, it'll be the exception, not the rule, but we'll pick and choose things that we want to support. I mean, there are weeks where Nicole and I have no days off. There are weeks where Nicole and I are at back-to-back events and frankly, GOP-funded events helping GOP candidates and issues. And there might be some of those candidates who, you know, we believe in as individuals, or who I believe in as an individual that has nothing to do with their party affiliation. And of course, I'll continue to support people. I'm not saying not ever, never, no way. But what I'm saying is it's not going to be some proactive thing where we spend every single day we have off supporting the GOP system that is then going to toss us under the bus and spit in our face. Not going to happen. But, you know, my views on what the Democrats are doing to this state don't change. Not at all. Robert says, sadly, perhaps I'm being foolish, but I expect more from people. It isn't easy. Doing the right thing is harder than the wrong thing. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's get to some more questions and comments. Mandy says, is Brandy starting to understand what the establishment really is? Politicians who are for themselves, not the people. Look, I've been called the establishment. I literally quit a job in mainstream news and I get called over semi-bird crap, the establishment. Give me a break. But yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. And yes, I mean, to that extent where I'm like, well, the Republican Party isn't as evil as the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party is ruining this state. But like, they've shown that they're willing to just look out for their own interests. Nicole.
Yes.
I feel like you haven't really joined us today.
I haven't. Okay. Well, it's been a packed show, you know?
It has. It has. So. We both have interesting shirts on. So this was my shirt from the XXXY Sports for Jennifer Say. It says,
yeah, it looks good.
Free to think, free to speak, free to move, supporting biological women and not having to compete against biological men.
It's like the perfect shirt for you, too. It's a little crop, but not too crop.
Yeah, it's not very, like belly button
very
crop.
Nice, very nice
yes,
shirt.
Thank
good quality.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. You like my little Amarillo by morning?
I do. Amarillo by morning.
I know. I've been into t-shirts lately. It's never really been my thing, and lately I've been into t-shirts, kind of collecting them.
I feel like you always wear t-shirts.
It's new.
Oh, okay.
Since the show. I figure.
Oh, like a year and a half new.
Yes.
Okay. I meant the first couple weeks.
Yes, yes.
All right. Robert Parker, $5 super chat. RIP, WAGOP. Bird and his Kool-Aid drinkers now control it. Jim Walsh will be the next meal on the table. When Bird loses, he'll run for chair. And that's the thing, too, is in his statements over all this, Semi Bird called the Washington Republican Party racist. He compared what's happening to him to a public lynching and compared it to the treatment of blacks during the civil rights era. So the party's going to continue to cover for someone who is accusing them of racism and lynching and like Jim Crow era.
Happening.
It's nuts. That's nutso. That is nutso. I believe more and more that Semi Bird's a Democrat plant because he's doing all the Democrat things, losing his mind, victim mentality, lies, deceit.
And he really can't answer questions that he should be able to answer as a you know, a serious candidate.
Yeah.
But he just sticks to the same rhetoric that
word soup, all of this. Yeah. Give me a freaking break.
Hmm.
All right. Matthew Cook, Brandy, does this mean you'll still be supportive of Brian Haywood? Yeah, of course. And I say that in the article. The Let's Go Washington initiatives and what Brian Haywood is doing is not about political party. And you see that in the signatures. A lot of them, in some cases, most of them were from Democrats and independents on a couple of them. That's about good policy. I'll always support good policy. And that might mean some Republican things. Of course that will. What I'm saying is that, you know, Nicole and I aren't going to spend our, well, Nicole can do what she wants. I don't speak for Nicole, but I'm not going to spend my weekend going for free, volunteering to go to GOP events and doing things that help the Republican Party if the Republican Party is going to turn around and spit in my face, spit in Jason Rance's face for doing factual reporting. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. But yeah, we're going to continue to support good policies, and a lot of those are going to be Republican policies. Let's see here. Matthew Cook. Brandy, have a cocktail on me. Cheers. You must know. Thanks for the $10 super chat.
Did you get the first one there at the top?
First one, yeah.
Robert, okay.
Yep.
Sorry.
Already read it. That's all right. You're just in la-la land.
I know, sorry.
John Cruz, are we related? I considered myself a Republican for years, but in the last 6 years, I too have become an independent. The Republican Party, especially at the state level, has become unhinged. And I, you know, being an independent doesn't mean you can be fully aligned with the Republican Party platform, fully aligned, but not want to be a member of the Republican Party for some of the reasons I've articulated. Again, I would say I'm 80% on board with the types of policies the Republican Party in Washington State supports. 80% on board. What I'm opposed to is the party system, because the party system looks out for the party, not for people. That's the issue that I'm trying to articulate here. Wow. Richard Dixon on Bob Ferguson being saying he's against the status quo, but he's supported by like all the status quo politicians. Richard said, Patty Murray was elected when I was 9. I'm 41 now.
It's kind of a crazy.
Is that true? She was elected
34 years, 30. Yeah, 9.
It's been that long?
36 years.
Holy smokes. I knew it was a long time. I didn't know. I didn't know it had been that long. That's wild.
It's wild, right? So time for new blood.
New blood. First blood. New blood. No?
Something's got to give here. We're in wild territory.
It is wild.
I do think that, well, I mean, I guess technology maybe is the biggest difference from us and, you know, 100 years ago or 70 years ago,
yeah.
30 years ago. But technology and the fact that none of us have been through, I mean, I know we all have individual stories of hard times, but there's not been a world war necessarily yeah. during our lifetime.
Or like a mass draft or to Vietnam.
Or, you know, some wild universally felt hardship that yeah. we've all experienced together. And so I think that that's what drives us apart, right? So we've got all the social media that's like new and technology driving us apart, and we have nothing like that bringing us together. So those two yeah. things I think have just changed this country, and we need to figure out how to
reconnect
and kind of get things back together. And then of course I've said this before, but the fact that nobody has a, like, churches aren't a thing, you don't have this community atmosphere, everybody just has work, and you work all day, you don't ever stop working, and
yeah.
and there's no real weekends because everybody's connected to work all the time, and yeah. so there's no community. So I get jealous of the people that I know that live in little cul-de-sacs, and they right. have little barbecues and stuff. I'm like, oh, that'd be nice. There's no barbecues.
No. Oh, there's some barbecues.
I mean,
but
you have
yeah,
friends, but you know what I mean.
To have connections, 100%. Let's fit a couple more in on Jimmy Jaskaran Singh and his continued ordeal with the squatter. Julie says, more Mr. Singhs, please, honorable and willing to stand up and fight for mm-hmm. what's right. What's everyone else's excuse for cowering from all the clowns? Clown nonsense going on in the world. Stand up, speak up, give common sense, come back. Yes.
Do it.
See my little punch there. Let me see. Let's do one more. I'm picking and choosing. Rick Johnson, if any of us knowingly lie in our occupation, we lose our license and or our job. Politicians are not accountable for anything they say or do. That's insane. And it's the media's fault. Politicians are doing what politicians do. And if the media held them accountable for it, they would not do it. And the media doesn't. So that's why they do it. And there are no consequences. And also, it's the fault of voters. If you know about it and you keep voting for them, then you're just asking for it, right? All right. Thank you, Nicole. Thank mm-hmm. you all for your questions, comments, and contributions to the show today. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. It's funny. Nicole picked this one today, and she puts a link in the show sheet, like for like an option. And I tried to click on it, and I couldn't watch it because it was sent out by Sebastian Gorka. And Sebastian Gorka has me blocked on Twitter. Still, for no reason. I don't even know. I was at an event with him in Bellevue last year, and I was going to ask him, but I didn't want to make it awkward. So anyway, this is going to be a complete surprise to me. A Jewish girl making fun of the pro-Palestine crowd on TikTok in a delightful parody.
Salam alaikum, brothers and sisters. I can no longer be silent on the genocide that's happening in Gaza. See, these indigenous Palestinians had their land stolen from them from evil white colonizers, and colonization needs to be resisted in all forms, including violence. Unlike against me, who is indigenous to New York, and I'm not white, I have a slight tan, I'm Italian actually. So when these evil people came from Europe, again, not like me, I have a tan, they did horrific things to the innocent Palestinian people, so of course we should blame America for terrorism. I hate America despite my trust fund and the fact that I'm attending an Ivy League college that costs $60,000 a year. So when you look at what these poor people are going through, obviously they're going to rape women and kill children because that's justifiable resistance. But of course I'm a feminist and was part of the Me Too movement and the Believe All Women movement, but my feminism does not extend to Israeli women because why would I believe a Jew? I mean, why would I believe a Zionist? It's really horrific to see, and my heart breaks for those poor babies. I mean, I just can't live with this. I don't know how I'm going to go on with my life when something all the way across the world is happening that I don't even understand, but how else am I going to get my social justice warrior points?
Roasted! Roasted! That has been your sanity check for today. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting this work we do, Democrat, Republican, or Independent. Don't care. Just happy to have you here. We'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon. In the meantime, if you have not signed up to support this show of ours, please do so. It's just $5 a month. And look how much you get. 5 shows a week. Wowza. UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com.